That song, and appreciate the song selections this morning, Doug. I know that you've obviously received a copy of my sermon because all the songs blend so well with the message this morning. As we talk about the Holy Spirit in power, so quite frequently when people talk about the power that is at work within believers through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, what is usually emphasized is miracles and prophecy and tongues and visions. But my lesson this morning focuses on the power of the Holy Spirit to live a dynamic Christian life, and it has nothing at all to do with miraculous gifts. But just because the Holy Spirit is living inside of us and He empowers us doesn't mean that we are taking advantage of that power. That power is provided, and it helps us when it comes to decision-making. He helps us understand the Word of God. He convicts of sin. He pours the love of God into our hearts, and He produces the fruit of Spirit in every one of our lives. In Matthew chapters 5 through 7, Jesus says that we must never be angry, never lust, never divorce, never refuse to forgive someone who has wronged you. And so when you look at what Jesus is commanding in Matthew chapter 5, it just seems like this is impossible, right? How are we going to do this? But think for just a moment about some of your favorite Bible stories. For example, how did David have the power to kill Goliath? How did Samson have the power to kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey? How did Daniel survive the lion's den? How did Elijah, you know, kill the 400 prophets of Baal? Where did the power come from that enabled them to accomplish these impossible tasks? Because humanly speaking, they were impossible. But with God, they were able. You see, they were able through the Spirit of God, and we're able to do the impossible through the Spirit of God, that which is humanly impossible. I think we set a bar way too low for ourselves. We think, well, you know what? We all sin, and we're all going to sin, and the Bible says we do. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so we tend to think, well, we're going to sin. It's just part of life. We can't help it. And so I think we tend to lower the bar, right? And I think what we need to do is raise the bar. And I think that is what this message is all about this morning, encouraging us to raise the bar. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul says, well, let's look at it real quick. Ephesians 3, verse 20. I want you to see this. Ephesians 3, verse 20. It's a great verse, a verse I think most people have memorized. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I love that verse and emphasizing the power that is at work within us. Practically speaking, we can be more holy. We can be more sanctified, more hopeful, more loving, more patient, more kind, more self-controlled, and more successful in sharing the gospel with people than we realize. We have the power to do this. The question is, do we really want those kinds of far-reaching transformational changes to take place in our lives? And the answer is yes. Yes, we do. That's the right answer. And so this morning, I want us to look at three areas where the Holy Spirit is empowering us to make change in our lives. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live Christ-centered, cross-centered lives rather than self-centered ones by molding us into the image and likeness of the Son of God. And He does this positively and negatively, all right? And so first of all, He does this positively by creating within us the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so these are the kind of things that you expect to see in the lives of God's people. In fact, in Acts chapter 6, when they were looking for men to serve, the forerunners to deacons, if you will. They're not necessarily deacons. The qualifications are not the same. But I would say the forerunners to deacons. And so when you look, the qualification they looked for was men full of the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you know that a person is full of the Holy Spirit? What do you look for? Tell you what you look for. You look for the things that Paul just spoke of in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you see that in a person's life, though, that type of fruit in a person's life, that person is full of the Holy Spirit. And think about just the first three he mentions on this list. All you could ever want in life are right there in three words. Love, joy, and peace. How great would your life be if just those three were abundant in your life? Love, we all need it, we all want it. Joy, many don't have it today. We want it. And peace, that is no conflict with people, no conflict with God. There's peace with God and peace with one another. What a way to live. And the Spirit of God enables us to do this. You see, we can't just accept the death of Jesus. We need to embrace the life of Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no longer serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." And so it's important that we not only embrace his death, but we embrace his life. And so we are to live resurrection lives, new life in Jesus. But he also does this negatively by empowering us to put to death the passions and the lust of the flesh. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, Paul says, "For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." And so through the strength provided by the Holy Spirit, we're able to put to death the desires and the affections of the flesh, the sin. We're able to get that out of our lives. And so Paul talks about in Ephesians, Colossians, about taking off the old man and putting on the new man. Well, that's what we're talking about here. And so the Holy Spirit enables us to put off the old man. Everything that he was, we put aside and we incorporate the new man. And we do this through the power of the Holy Spirit that is provided to every believer in Jesus Christ. Paul says over in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, just real quick, want to read a couple of verses here. Beginning in verse 15, listen to Paul's prayer for the church. He says, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And notice, "and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." And he goes on to describe that, "which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things in under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Paul wanted the church to comprehend the amazing power that is at work in God's people. It is the same power that said unto Jesus, on the third day, arise, and he arose. That is the same power that is at work in your life, and that's what Paul tells us here. And so there is tremendous power at work in the lives of God's people. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, Paul says, beginning in verse 10, actually, back up, verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice, strengthened with might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. And there it is again, strengthened with all power. It's important that we know this and believe this, that there is an amazing power at work in each one of our lives if we are believers in Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit changes us. But secondly, today, the Holy Spirit enables us to love one another. Going back to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, look at verse 5. He says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." The greatest power in the world is the love of God. And the love of God, Paul says, has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if you've ever wondered, I have, how is it possible to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? That's a pretty tough command when you think about it. And all of us have failed in life in this regard. But the answer is, the biblical answer is, we can do these things because God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. When God gave you the Holy Spirit, the love of God came to dwell inside of you as well. And you are capable of loving far more than you might realize. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 19, it's a great verse. Ephesians 3, verse 19, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, wrong passage. Ephesians 3, verse 19. "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And so, you see, we learn that the Holy Spirit empowers us to grasp, to wrap our minds around, our hearts around, our soul around the entire circumference of God's love. Not that we know it and understand it, but that we have experienced it. And so the Spirit of God enables us to do this. But you know, it's fundamental to being a Christian is loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. That was the summation of the law. It's really the summation of Christianity. That is what it's all about, loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. And the Holy Spirit will help you to do just that. And we need his help. But number three today, he helps us renew our minds. He helps us renew our minds. In Romans 12, read verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so when you think about this command, this is totally, totally something that an unsaved man cannot do. An unsaved person cannot obey this command. And so we're commanded to allow ourselves to be transformed. And notice, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed through the renewing of your mind. And so the Christian life, as we know it, is a life of transformation. God is continually working in our lives to transform us and mold us into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, I love this verse. He says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so God, through His Holy Spirit, is transforming us. He is molding us and shaping us in the likeness of Jesus. Now, we have to cooperate with what God is doing. In one of the lessons coming up, we're going to talk about the sins of the Spirit. And one of the sins of the Spirit is resisting the Spirit. Right? Another one is not allowing the Spirit to fill the temple. And we talked about how the Spirit of God wants to fill the temple. Him dwelling in you is not the same as filling you. All right? He comes to live and dwell in you, but it's up to you to allow Him to fill you, because you can quench what He wants to do in your life. You can say no to what He wants to do in your life. So we have to cooperate and allow God to change us. And one of the ways He does this is through the renewing of our minds. And one of the most precious things we can do is learn a truth, apply that truth, and do that every day of your life. And as you do that, God will shape you and mold you in the likeness of Jesus. In Colossians again, in Colossians chapter, Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says in verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And so the Holy Spirit is working. He is helping us as we read God's word, as we incorporate that word, as we change our thinking. And that's what needs to happen, because listen, your life will not change until your thinking changes. And so God can't change you until you change your mind about the way you're living. And the word of God helps us to change our mind about the way we're living, because we know what we're supposed to do. We know how we're supposed to think now. Because when we're born into this world, we're born into a world where our minds are corrupt. And we don't realize it, but we've been sold a ton of lies throughout our lives. And God has to straighten all of that out. And He does that through His word and through the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work in our lives. And this is why, believe it or not as well, that when we become a Christian, that repentance is so important. Because, you know, it's in repentance that we say, you know what, I know better, I'm going to do better, and I'm going to change my life. I realize the way that I'm living isn't pleasing to God. And so I'm going to get my life in line with what He wants and He desires. And He helps us. He transforms our thinking. And so the Holy Spirit works to change us in these three ways. This morning, as an invitation, I want you to think about Peter for just a moment. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter is preaching the gospel, preaches the death, burial, and the resurrection, and a large audience of people believed his message. They had faith in Christ, which is what you have to have first of all, is faith in Jesus. And they said, "What shall we do?" And Peter's response is real clear. He says, "Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so when you repent of your sins, God, and you're immersed, God will forgive your sins, and we need to rejoice in that and talk about that, but we also need to rejoice and talk about the fact that not only are your sins forgiven, but the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And that is every bit as important as knowing you're forgiven. Just to know you're forgiven and not know He dwells in you, you're setting yourself up for failure. Because you're never going to be able to do what God wants you to do in your own strength and own might. You can only do that in the power that God provides through the Holy Spirit, our helper. So if you've never obeyed the gospel this morning, we want to encourage you to think about that. If you would like to have your sins forgiven and have God Almighty dwelling inside of you, empowering you for spiritual life, He wants to do that for you. But it's up to you. You have to decide whether you want God to be a part of your life or not. And so if you don't know him, we're going to extend an invitation. We're going to invite you to come to know him. And for those of you that might need prayer or some other response, whatever that might be, just make it known, and we'll do whatever we can to minister and help you. So come as we sing.